Right. So it's been ages since I've done one of these. McMahon's Musings, if you will. Still hate that name. Still hate it. Which is why I said it in a silly voice. McMahon's Musings. I thought that would negate the cringe that I feel whenever I see that combination of words. McMahon's and Musings. I wish I'd call it McMahon's Monologues. It's a bit lofty, a little bit get over yourself, James, but not as cringe as McMahon's Musings. So I was thinking that maybe a little bit like when your football team, if your football team plays in a famous stadium and that has a name, and your football team gets corporate sponsorship and they insist on changing the name of where your team plays, the Sports Direct Arena, if you will, the Brillo Pad Ball. I've just made that one up. I don't want to give the breadheads any ideas, so sorry about that if your football team ends up being bought by Brillo. Maybe it can be one of those things where you call it what you want to call it, McMahon's Monologues, wink wink, but it is actually called something else, McMahon's Musings. I'm spending quite a lot of time on this, so I should get into the actual episode. It's been ages since I've done one of these, and I was really bashing them out last year. I probably did too much, but I had a lot on my mind. And this year I've been really trying to concentrate on the conversational episodes, which I think is the bread and butter of what this podcast does. But there was just some stuff I felt like it was time for a catch-up. I felt like it was time for me to tell you about a few things that had been going on this end. I say it's been ages since I've done one of these episodes, but I've actually recorded this episode, hang on, let me count how many times, 1,077, that's how many times I've tried to do this episode, and got bored of myself talking into the microphone. So this is the time. Whatever comes out of my mouth now, I'm going with it, because frankly I've got all the stuff to do, and we're all friends here. You'll go with it, you know, I'm sure. I hope you might have noticed that I've been trying to do some conversational episodes with acts that maybe aren't as familiar as some of the episodes I was doing last year. Been quite deliberate, really. I've been trying to give a platform to some newer acts. These are terrible times for newer acts to try to garner any attention. The death of the music press, the banality of radio, the saturation of new music, and the availability of old music. So I've just been trying to do my little bit. I feel like, you know, I like, you know, my favourite bands are the Beatles and Nirvana and the Ramones and Buffalo Tom, and I could go on and on and on. You know, bands that have some heritage. Give me a Best of Motown compilation and you'll find a few people more happy. But I do feel like as a music fan, you've got to try. If you love music that much, you've got to want there to be a future of the art form. I suppose those episodes have just been my very small contribution. I feel like if you've given up on new music, then what's the point, right? You know, do you deserve ears? I ask you, do you deserve ears? Should there be a Dropbox somewhere in public places where people who have given up on new music are made to go drop their ears in those boxes? A little bit like when the police have a knife amnesty and they don't ask any questions, there's no judgment, but just you quietly go drop your weapons in the boxes and we make the world a better place, theoretically. But I was very sad to hear about Carl Wellinger from World Party, and a bit freaked out, actually. A couple of weeks ago, I hadn't listened to World Party in ages, and then a couple of weeks ago, I went to see Pete Papafdies. Pete Papafdies, friend of the podcast and the nicest man in British music. I went to see him talk to Mike Scott at Rough Trade East, that was hung on the reissue of the Waterboys' This Is The Sea and the release of the 1985 box set, and it was very interesting. The Waterboys are a band that, you know, I like the big songs. That one, I'm into that one. I'm into the first three records, which Carl Wallinger was involved in. But it was interesting. I love Pete Papafti's The Bits. Pete Papafti's. And I learnt a lot. The reason I tell you all of this is that there was a mixtape before Pete and Mike came on stage and had their conversation, and I presume it was put together by Pete. Pete Papafti's. Because, you know, I'm familiar enough with Pete to know that he has much love for soft, gentle, romantic, indie stroke AOR. That's kind of his thing. I hope he doesn't listen to this episode. He might never speak to me again and think that I'm really weird, but I'm a big Pete Papafti's guy. I just presumed that he'd put it together because there was a lot of his favourites on there, and the song Is It Like Today by World Party was on that mixtape, and it was the first time I'd heard it in years and years and years, and it just unlocked some nice memories of when I listened to that song. It was a fixture in every mixtape that I made for the car when my band, when we went away and we played gigs out of town. I would always make mixtapes of songs that I was into, and that song was always on there. And because of remembering via Pete Papafti's, Pete Papafti's, via his mixtape at Rough Trade the other week, it sent me down a bit of a World Party rabbit hole. So it was quite weird when I saw that Carl had passed away. Really sad times. Although, and obviously Carl Wallinger isn't in the world anymore, so, you know, I don't know what your spiritual beliefs are, but chances are he won't know that I'm saying this. But I have to say that World Party, I would have got into that band years before I did, but I think it's one of the worst names for a band ever. I just presumed when I first heard of the band World Party, I just presumed that they would have bongos, that they were going to be smelly hippies. And I also thought that World Party is just a very impractical idea, the idea of inviting everyone in the world to a party. Parties, they're where the cool people go, you know, like, and the really cool people, they go in the kitchen at parties. You don't want to be inviting everyone. And besides, can you imagine the prep? Imagine how long it would take to cook all the sausage rolls. So, yeah, I would have listened to World Party a lot sooner if they hadn't been called World Party. But actually, one of the things that made me think that I should have jumped on an episode, done a solo episode before now, is just how many musicians that I love have passed away in recent months. Mary Weiss from the Shangri-Las, the folk singer Melanie, Wayne Kramer from the MC5. I mean, come on now. Come on now. Come on. Wayne Kramer from the fucking MC5. And just before I started recording, I saw that Eric Carmen, who is notable for many achievements in music, but I suppose the work that he did that was closest to my heart is his work with the power pop pioneers, the Raspberries. I just saw that he passed away. So it's been a torrid time for musicians that I love, important musicians. You know, none of those musicians are niche, I don't think. They all achieved an awful lot within music in their time on Earth. I have to say, I learned something amazing about Mary Weiss when I was reading all of the obituaries. This wasn't in an obituary, mainly because it may just be bollocks. It might just be something that someone made up. But what a weird thing to make up if that is true. I'm not a big fan of the gossip. I am a fan of the gossip, but not of gossip in general. So, you know, if you do repeat this and you do attribute this story to Mary Weiss, then, don't mention me for one thing, because, you know, no one, come on now, you know, grass gets mown and all that. But, I did hear, come closer. I did hear that Mary Weiss, when she was on tour with the Shangri-Las in the early days, I mean, she was a young, you know, she was a young girl, you know, she was, you know, living the dream, that sometimes she and the rest of the Shangri-Las, when they found mice in the dressing room, they would make little parachutes for the mice and drop them out the window of the dressing room. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. You know, I'm not vegetarian anymore, but I was vegetarian for many years. I care about animals as much as someone who enjoys eating them between two slices of bread from time to time. But I do care about animals. I've got guinea pigs, for God's sake. But it made me laugh. Rest in peace, Mary Weiss. Whether you did that or you didn't do that. I also thought I would say on the podcast that I also thought I'd let you know that I'm not a big fan of... Okay, let me start this again. Not start the whole monologue again, because this episode is going out. I need to crack on. I need to get on with some other things. But how am I going to phrase this? Okay, on episode 149, way back when, I spoke to a musician called Lana Lubani. She has a record called The Holy Land, which is brilliant. It's sort of alternative pop. She was a very interesting interviewee. She is of Palestinian heritage. I am very sympathetic to the plight of the Palestinian people. I'm also a big fan of Jews. I have lots of friends who are Jewish. I am very interested in Jewish culture. And I think that anti-Semitism is a completely unique, ever-shifting, almost ingrained in a large part of our culture. Until you see it, you don't see it. I think it's a terrible time for Jewish people right now. And that's without delving into the complexity of what's happening in the Middle East. I care about Jews an awful lot, as well as being very concerned about the plight of the Palestinian people. In an ideal world, in the world that I would like to be part of striving towards, there would be a Palestinian state and there would be a Jewish state, and they would live side by side in harmony. But the events of October 7th have rendered that dream more complicated than perhaps it might have been at one point in time. And I think that I just want people to stop killing each other, really. I don't think that's a controversial view, but I don't like my Jewish friends being scared when they go out into the city on a Saturday, and I don't like seeing footage of displaced children and grieving mothers on the TV. So therefore, I think what is happening in Gaza is horrifying. But I also think what happened on October 7th is horrifying, and I can understand why this conflict happened. I think lots of things all at the same time. But I say all this to say that the conversation I had with Lana, which would be about 10 months ago now, when we tried to talk a little bit about the nuance of the situation, her having Palestinian heritage, me being a big fan of Jews, and maybe sympathetic, well, don't say me, I'm not going to count you, sympathetic to the aims and existence of Israel, we tried to have a nuanced conversation. And I have decided, well, her PR asked if we could maybe take that episode down, and that's not really something that I'm hugely into. I feel like when you say something, you should own those words. If you change your opinion on something, then you combat that by sharing a new opinion. I'm a big free speech guy. I know you sound like a Nazi when you say that these days, but I genuinely am a big free speech guy. I think the best way to combat bad speech is with more speech. I think the idea of an absence of free speech in the world is horrifying and leads to much worse things than people getting their feelings hurt. But I say all this to say, once again, that I don't want to cause any trouble for someone who is trying to navigate their musical career at this point in time and is feeling things because of her heritage. I really liked my conversation with her, and I'm not saying that some point in the future I might put it back up, but right now there's so much division and so much anger in the world around that conflict, I just thought I would take it down. I hope you're all right with that. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're not, but I hope you're all right with that. I want you to know that I'm not doing that because I'm any kind of square. I'm doing it because if I can contribute a little bit less antagonism to the world, then I'm all for that. I'm all for that. So as you probably heard on the intro to the conversational episodes for the last couple of months, I was really hammering home details of the conversation I was having with the author Jamie Collinson about his book The Rejects, An Alternative History of Popular Music. It's an amazing book about what happens to the members of your favourite band that get booted before they hit the big time, or in some cases after they hit the big time. There's the story of Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses, Jason Everman from Nirvana and Soundgarden. There's some stuff about Wiley in there, who was basically cancelled. He was basically rejected by the people, not his bandmates or the music industry, so to speak. It was within that chapter, two chapters actually, Jamie explores the nuances of cancel culture and redemption, and whether there's a place for people who have transgressed. All of it's very interesting. It's a fantastic book. I did an episode with Jamie. I think it's episode 259. It wasn't that long ago. Do check it out if anything that I've just talked about sounds interesting. But I also got to speak to Jamie. I got to host a Q&A with him at Rock and Roll Book Club, which is one of my favourite things in London. It's a space in Walthamstow and beyond. It's just down the road from Spook Towers. I go there all the time. I'm so chuffed that I live so close to a place where the best music writers and the best musicians around go and talk about music in a weighty way. And I was so pleased that they asked me to host this Q&A with Jamie, because I'm such a fan of that book. So that was really good. Do check out that book. If I had a pound for every time I've mentioned Jamie's book now, I wouldn't be rich, but I would be richer than I am right now. So, yeah. Speaking of money, I know this is an awkward conversation for us to have, but the Patreon's growing quite nicely. Yeah, I've slightly neglected it the last couple of weeks. I've just had a lot on with my writing work. I've been doing some stuff for Record Collector and a wrestling magazine called Inside the Ropes, so I've been pretty busy there. But the Patreon's really the thing that keeps the lights on with this podcast. It's the thing that it really is. If you want to support the podcast, becoming a member of the Patreon is the absolute best thing you can do. So yeah, I need to get into there and give the people some content. I'll get on that later today once I've published this episode, because this is the one. I'm not doing a take 2000. I'm going to publish this any minute now. So if you would like to support the podcast, then please do consider subscribing to the Patreon. Or also, why don't you check out the Spook YouTube channel? It's got videos from loads of the conversations that I have on the channel, and it's growing really nicely. Please subscribe. Please check out the videos that exist on that platform. I'm gonna leave you now, because I'm okay with this. There's been a few fumbles, a few mumbles, but I don't think I've ever said anything terrible. Like, I don't know. Well, I'm not gonna say what could be terrible, because then I would have to start all over again. But it's not like I've flubbed, you know. It's not like there's anything in there where I go, oh well, should I be publishing that? I think I've done okay there. Maybe the Israel Palestine thing was a little bit, you know, if you are of the bad faith variety, then you'll take from that what you will. But I don't think anyone can have a problem with the fact, with the statement, I just want people to stop killing each other. And I feel terrible about what's happening in Gaza. And I feel terrible about what happened on October 7th. And I think that it needs to end, but with the release of the hostages and the least people in Gaza hurt and displaced as possible. I don't think that's a controversial view. But anyway, I will leave you now, because I've got to get on with all of the things that I haven't done while I was recording multiple takes of this episode. But I'm going to leave you with a conversation that I had, or an interview that I had with Sky News just over a week ago, when they asked if I would talk to them about the Brits. I won't go into a big rant about the Brits here because I did it on the television. But there was something about the Brits this year, and this maybe ties into what I was talking about, new music and the infrastructure of the music industry being all over the place right now and maybe forevermore. I feel pretty doomy about where the music industry and where music culture is going. I won't lie, you probably picked that up from the episodes that I published in recent memory, while also loving it and caring about it an awful lot. So, I got that off my chest on the television, and I'll include that any moment now. Thanks as ever for your support. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully the next time I do one of these, it won't be in 6 months' time, and hopefully I'll be able to do it on the first, second, third, maybe the fourth attempt. This has been a journey. Take care of yourself. Speak to you soon.
Now it's the Brit Awards tonight, and female musicians are leading the nominations. This year, the gender-neutral Best British Artist category increased the number of nominations from 5 to 10 after last year's ceremony was criticised due to a lack of female representation. Well, joining me now is the music journalist James McMahon. Good to see you, James. Now, I was looking at your social media a bit earlier, and you tweeted, "Has any awards ceremony felt more irrelevant in 2024? So tone deaf to where we're at than the Brits." James, what's wrong?
I mean, I was quite proud of the line about the circus tent in the car park of cultural malaise. I think that's what I said. What's wrong? Well, I think the music, as it always is full of interesting music, interesting bands, interesting artists, interesting acts. Music is never the problem, but I think that the music industry is in such terminal decline that there feels something faintly obscene about the Brits this year. It feels tone deaf to the realities of what is happening in British music. I think the Brits has always been a good time. That's what the Brits is. You don't go there because it's this bastion of artistic worth. It's a good night out. But right now, given that the challenges that the British music industry faces, just feels a little bit like the fall of Rome. It feels a bit gross. It feels a little bit grapes at the Colosseum.
Wow. The fall of Rome, terminal decline. I mean, I'm looking at the list of some of the big names performing tonight. Dua Lipa, Kylie, Ray, Ellie Goulding, Calvin Harris. I mean, they're all huge, successful stars.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Ray. I feel like that's a real success story, mainly because she's someone who was cast aside by the industry and kind of kept in this holding cell, this artistic holding cell. And really, tonight is a real victory for her. And I really hope that she proves a lot of people wrong. But the rest of those acts really are kind of establishment shills. They're really kind of drones. I don't think they are reflective of what's happening in our culture. I think that's the thing that I find so frustrating is that, you know, there's big name sponsors. It's been a real year of achievement for people who are sat at the top end of the table in the British music industry, you know, record profits and such like. But, you know, last year, over 100 small venues closed. If you think that MasterCard, their take home last year was almost almost 500 billion in profit. The Hilton 52 billion, Audi 82 billion. I mean, really, in terms of small venues, which is they're the arteries that create the people that we look to get up on that stage and win big at the Brits, they're all being severed. It's all being cut off, and you just think small change for those people in order to keep what we love going.
Yeah, grassroots music, so important, isn't it? Let's just talk about Ray a little bit more. You mentioned her there. She's going to be the most awarded artist in a single year, potentially. Do you think she'll break some records?
I think so. I mean, it was such an inspiring story when she finally got that record out. I think that she is obviously filled to the brim with talent. I'm really hoping that it's going to be her night. But like I say, it feels almost, you know, the Brits is always at its best when there is transgression. The Brits it's an evening for the bigwigs of the British music industry to get together and pat themselves on the back and tell themselves that everything's great and everything's fine. And there have been times within our culture, there's been times within our history that when when there's been a transgressive element, when Jarvis Cocker has looked at how bloated Michael Jackson's performance has been and wiggled his bottom, that's the thing we talk about. When Chumbawamba, they dunk a bucket of icy water over a politician. And I feel like tonight needs something like that. So, you know, someone like Ray, who was cast aside, winning big, there is an element of that. But I feel like there needs to be something. There needs to be some party poopers, someone who really says, you know what, things aren't great right now. This might be a really nice night out and we might all be having a great time with our Volavons, but things aren't good. This isn't this cannot last unless we actually start trying to filter the opportunities further down away from the away from the tastier end of the trough.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Kylie will get to taste some of those Volavants later. She's winning a big award this evening, just turned up at the Brit Awards at the O2 Arena. James, hopefully we can speak in 12 months' time and things will be looking a bit more positive for the music industry. But for now, thank you very much indeed. James McMahon, music journalist, host of the James McMahon Music Podcast. Good to speak to you.